Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
Genesis chapter 2, from verse 21 to verse 25. I'll read, for a change, I will read. Good. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay? So this is just an introduction. So my topic for today is, why marry? Why marry? I want to make a case for those who want to turn bachelorhood and spinsterhood into an institution. Please get married. I believe that there's a difference between religion and spirituality. If you read your Bible with a religious mind, what it does is to give you a very narrow view of life and to give you an inflexible mind. Okay, so you just want to insist the way it's written is the only way it can ever be. Spirituality, on the other hand, opens your mind up to possibilities. So when I read Genesis, especially the story of creation, I am conscious of the fact that Moses, who wrote this account, was not present when those events happened. He wasn't present when God created the earth. He wasn't present when God created Adam or when God created Eve. It's understandable that people sought to understand the origin of man, and he leveraged on his relationship with God to get what happened through revelation. Amen. In expressing what he saw, God could only have communicated to Moses using Moses' frame of reference or vocabulary's bank. In other words, when God was describing what happened in the beginning to Moses, he didn't mention computers, because Moses would not have known what a computer was. Okay? So God had to use the limit of what Moses knew to communicate to him. So when you read, especially this passage of the Bible, it's good to read with an open mind. For example, God took a rib out of Adam and he created the woman out of that. So many men say when they're looking for a wife, and they're looking for their missing rib. And then the scientists check the number of bones in the body of a man and the number of bones in the body of a woman, and they are the same. Your rib is not missing, sir. Because there are deeper dimensions to this issue of growing a bone into a human being, but which I will not get into today. I think the important thing is that when God created the human being, he created him as a relational being. I think people knew that. I mean, even animals, you know, learn to relate together. And it's interesting that God created opposite sexes. So, when I want to find out in this passage, what would be God's purpose for creating a man and a woman and guiding the evolution of the institution of marriage and the family. Verse 18 is instructive. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So the big word that jumps at me is synergy, teamwork. God created man a phenomenal being. The way Moses got it was that God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." See, if we came up with that in our day and age, it would be understandable. But for someone like Moses, when there wasn't as much technological advancement as this, when man had not gone to space, obviously his revelation was accurate. That as small as man seemed to be in size, God created him a phenomenal being, a miracle walking on two legs. A being that has the capacity to straddle both the spiritual world and the physical world at the same time. But God did not create another big G God. God created man with limitations. He created him in such a way that man would always need him to realize his potential. In fact, God created man in such a way that he would need other human beings to realize his potential. No one human being would be able to do everything that God can do. That makes sense, doesn't it? Good. So God says, our vision for him is so big that we need other human beings in his class for him to be able to realize his potentials. So Adam may not have realized that he had the potential to bring other human beings into existence until Eve showed up. He had the sperm inside him, he had the capacity, but he would never be able to realize that potential without the presence of the woman. So it's the way God created us as human beings. We need other people to realize our potentials. There are things you have the capacity to do, but which you will never be able to do until you work with other people, period. It's not good for man to be alone. We need helpers. We need other people in his class. My understanding of it is broader than marriage. Teamwork happens. Synergy happens at different levels. It happens at the level of friendship, happens in the family, it happens in organizations, it happens in the society, happens in the neighborhood, happens in the nation. But the deepest dimension of it is marriage. The deepest dimension of it is marriage. In marriage, we enjoy the power of synergy. First, at the spiritual level. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, "If any two of you will agree on earth as touching anything that they will ask of my Father, I will do it." Remarkable. If any two of you will agree on earth, that's the essence of marriage. Okay? That on a spiritual plane, you can agree in prayer and you will see things happen that you could not have seen as an individual. At an emotional level, through marriage, we experience support. Because as human beings, we have the potential to be overwhelmed. Emotions are so strong. Human emotions are so strong, we have the capacity to be overwhelmed. That's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4 addresses from verse 9. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Woe to him that is alone when he falls. He said, there will be no one to raise him up, to lift him up. At a mental level, marriage provides powerful synergy. The quality of ideas that you produce, interacting with someone else, will always be better than what you will create individually. Like I said, teamwork and synergy happens at different levels. I mean, as a manager, as a leader, I understand what happens when we try to crack an idea at a meeting. You have 4, 5, 6, 7 people at a meeting. What you will create, what you will produce, will forever be better than what only one person can produce. So it's the same thing in the family. The quality of decision making. I mean, I just think about, our family. And the reality is that the quality of the ideas that I've lived by, the choices I have made over the years, would not have been the same if I wasn't married. Would not have been the same. At a physical level, marriage provides synergy, provides support. We enjoy physical help. I know there's a challenge to teamwork, though. There's a challenge. Dealing with differences. Dealing with differences. You know, I say that if in a team of 8 people, all 8 people are exactly the same. They look exactly the same. They think exactly the same way. They have exactly the same ideas. They like to eat exactly the same kind of food. They dress exactly the same way. And they are all of the same gender. 7 of them are useless. They add nothing to the team. The strength of a team is diversity. It's the differences. Oh, yes. That's the strength of a team. It's the diversity. It's the differences. It's the fact that there's someone there who is seeing this whole thing in a completely different way. Sometimes that's the person who will save your life or save your business from collapsing. I'm serious. It's those differences. It's the differences in perspectives. That's where the power is. You think that God didn't have enough wisdom to create Adam and Steve? Why did he create a different person? Because there were things Adam had potential to do that he would never be able to do until he had somebody different in his life. Amen. I know, it's because of those differences, that's why people say they are incompatible. So we're incompatible. We're just so different. Wow. Your compatibility is in the differences. The more different you are, the more compatible you are. Nika and I are not compatible. We're so different. Apart from the fact that she's a woman and I'm a man. You know that's enough. Our communication sometimes is like she's speaking German, I'm speaking Spanish. Because men use words to communicate facts. But when we say it, it's exactly like that. When a woman says it, why are you laughing? I don't mean that. They don't say the truth. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. Women use words to communicate feelings. See? When they feel strongly, they use strong words. So a man listens to a woman because he uses words to communicate facts. So he takes what she's saying as fact. But that's not what she's saying. She knows the fact, but it is how she is feeling at the moment. Should I give you an example? I know that you don't love me. I know you don't love me. A man's computer he takes that as a fact and he thinks it's the most ridiculous thing to say in this world. He tells her, "You are lying. How can you say that? We were discussing together till we slept last night. And then this morning, I don't love you." She knows that you love her. She doesn't feel loved at the moment. What further confuses the man is when she adds the word never. You never say that you love me. You never take me out. You never give me any weight. You never, never. After 20 years of marriage. As long as uncle is interpreting it as a fact, what he wants to do then is to prove that it is not true. Then it gets worse. One of the things that surprises him is when she sees that he is using logic to disprove everything she's saying and is supplying proofs, she changes the subject. Or she goes back 5 years ago. The guy said, "What are you talking about? An issue that we had forgotten a long time ago. No, leave that one. Leave that. Let's address this one. I have disproved what you said, haven't I? You are lying. I took you out on September 4. Because he is not empathizing with her, she's feeling worse. So the thing gets more intense, becomes an argument, and he's wondering why he's not getting it. Because, okay, so let's go back to exactly what she's saying. What she's saying is, "I don't feel loved now." How do you solve that problem? Thank you, my brother. He said, "Grab her." Tell her that you love her. Tell her, assure her, say it over and over again. Tell her you can, in fact, jump in front of a moving train on her behalf for her sake. See? Men and women are not compatible. Just simply because we're different, that's why we need each other. Because then, if you find yourself in a scenario where it's somebody else that is communicating to the two of you, and maybe the person is a woman, then your wife will understand her faster than you will do. Isn't it? If it's a man, then the man will understand the person faster. Because a lot of the time, when a man is speaking fact, the woman is trying to interpret. There's no need for interpretation. As you see, he said this, that's exactly how it is. Men are headliners. How was your day? Fine. Ask your wife the same question. So, one of the major reasons why you should get married is synergy, teamwork. Two are better than one. The quality of your life will be better. You'll be more prosperous. When you make financial decisions, the quality of your decisions will be better. When you make career decisions, the quality of your career decisions will be better. Amen. Amen. You make decisions even in business, the quality of the ideas will be better. And you make decisions sometimes that will put your life at risk. You may not die before your time. Hallelujah. One other important reason why you should get married. And the two of them shall become one flesh. Sex. Without guilt. Sex. Good sex. Yeah, I wanted to get a response from you because the whole place went quiet. I know I'm touching on a subject that church people don't like to talk about, but which they think about all the time. God created sex. Within the context of marriage, you can enjoy sex. Married people have more sex than singles. You don't have to be looking for who to sleep with. You are licensed. You can have as much of it as you want. Married people have more sex than singles, and married people have better sex. Because it gets better when you've been with the same person 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It gets a whole lot better than the experimenting. People want to make us feel like, oh, variety is the spice of life. Not true. And statistically proven by research. So, 1 Corinthians 7. Paul the Apostle said, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Get married. Don't carry fire around town. Because I like the way it's put in the King James Version of the Bible. That it is better to marry than to burn. Because some people are burning. Thank God we have fire extinguishers around here. Well, consequent to that is the fact that you make babies. Candidly, that's part of why God created sex, apart from the fact that he, listen, because I had to ask why God made it, the emotion, so strong. Procreation, the perpetuation of the human race. If God didn't make that emotion so strong, somewhere along the line, Satan will be able to influence mankind to decide to not have babies anymore. And with that, it just finished God's plan and program for the earth. So whether willingly or unwillingly, babies are coming. And every baby that comes is an extension of God. There are no illegitimate children. There are only illegitimate parents. Bearing and raising children is another very important reason why God wants us to marry. One of the most important contributions you will make to the development of our world, the advancement of our world, to the transformation of your country, is the raising of godly children. You may not have control over the politics of the nation. You may have no control over the economy. You may not have control over the health sector or the education sector. But I'm telling you, you have phenomenal influence over that human being that you raise in your house. The first 7 years of their lives, their values are shaped already. Most times it will take divine intervention to change their values. The first 7 years. And they spend most of that time at home. The president of Nigeria came from a home. Your governor came from a home. Am I right? So who knows where someone will end up tomorrow? One of the important platforms for our confrontation with evil in our world is the raising of our children. Amen. God wants us to raise and to bear godly children. I think marriage helps the development of character. What do you think? Is it Proverbs 17:17 that says, iron sharpens iron, and a man sharpens the countenance of his friend? So when we interact closely with other people, there's friction, right? But you need friction to smoothen something. Yeah. However good you think you are, get married. Then we will know how spiritual you are. Yes. And then you will be able to measure how much you need God. Because the reality is that God did not create the human being to function on his own. He was meant to function under the influence of the Holy Spirit. As a spirit in man, Job 32 verse 8, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So the way you see people, the way you see things, is supposed to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will live on a natural plane and struggle. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, generosity. That's it. When the Holy Spirit is influencing you, those are the things that come out of you. You will discover your need for those characteristics when you get married. I was sharing in the last service about one of us who shared about what happened when they just got married. He is Mr. Neatness. He had this habit of laying his bed perfectly before he could sleep on it. He couldn't sleep on the bed except it was perfectly laid. So after they got married, one night he woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. When he came back, he woke his wife up so she could stand up for him to lay the bed. If that was you, what would you have done? Your husband wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, what is it? He says, stand up. I want to lay the bed. He says, ah. He said he could sleep, except the bed. That's marriage. So you need to be filled with the Spirit. Or else. So, you see, it's just when we leave God out of the equation, some of us become something completely different from what God ordained. We shouldn't allow marriage to turn us into monsters, turn us into angry people, turn us into bitter people. Our responses can be better if we are filled with the Spirit. If you don't know what to do, ask Holy Spirit, what should I say? Or what should I do? You will get some of the best lessons of your life. I got angry one day and I asked the Holy Spirit, what should I do? He said, tell her you are sorry. I said, sorry. I'm not the one that is wrong. She's wrong. He said, I said, tell her that you're sorry. I said, no, we need to resolve this thing. Because if I say sorry, it would mean that I'm admitting that I'm wrong. He said, no, saying sorry is not always an admittance of wrong. It can be a show of empathy. If a child falls down and you say sorry to the child, it's not an admittance that you are the one who pushed the child down. It's to help the child to feel better. He said, say sorry. He said, I'm asking you to say sorry so you can keep the communication lines open. I hope as a man that when you read the story of Adam and Eve, you will understand how dangerous it is for you not to talk to your wife. Yeah, serpent will come and talk to her. You don't talk to your wife. I don't want my wife having conversations with Satan. Development of character, and along with it, leadership skills. I think the family is the best place to prepare a person for leadership. I think so. Because leadership is about people, influencing people. Dr. Mike Murdock said that God gave you a family to prepare you for an enemy. There's nothing you're going to meet outside that you won't meet at home. That's how it works. So you understand why in 1 Timothy 3, Paul the Apostle said, if someone can't rule well at home, don't let him be a leader in church. Family prepares us for leadership. Awesome, awesome benefits, isn't it? Anyway, my time is out. I just want to encourage you, be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers of it. This month, find someone to marry. Amen. And just in case you're married already and it looks like, oh, this is tight, just listen to God's word and recalibrate. Don't focus on the tensions or slight challenges of the moment. Look at the ultimate purpose and goal. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the power of the Holy Spirit will rest on you.
Amen.
This month, for everyone trusting God for a husband or for a wife, you will receive revelation.
Amen.
There will be miracles of connection.
Amen.
They will happen by revelation.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for everyone who is married already and who wants peace, who wants more joy, who wants more favor, who wants it to get better, I pray in the name of Jesus you will enjoy unusual wisdom,
Amen.
Unusual favor.
Amen.
Every curse working against you is broken.
Amen.
The blood of the covenant will work on your behalf.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person present in this service who says, Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Sin is man's greatest problem. Sin is man's, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once sin comes in, Satan comes in, everything goes wrong. God sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. I just want to say a short prayer as we ask God for forgiveness. And if you are that honest person who wants us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, you are honest enough to admit before God your lifestyle with God is not okay. Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to say a short prayer with you, short prayer. Pastor Sam, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I'd like to say a short prayer with you. God bless you for your honesty. Perhaps you've been a Christian before. You're backsliding into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Can you please also put your hand on your heart? Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. We thank you because their sins are forgiven. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because you will reveal yourself to them, teach them to know you and to love you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name,